Hey, it's Beth here. Over 65, still talking, episode 289. Okay, on Sunday I was reading the New York Times, and I've created an ambiance for myself because this is going to be romantic. I sprayed my bathrobe with sandalwood and myrrh. I thought myrrh was Christmas, but because of the wise men, but it's not. So I smell great. I'm getting myself in this mood because I want to tell a really golden book for the golden age romantic story. Okay, it's about Arlo Guthrie, that Arlo from Alice's Restaurant. Okay, to begin with, he had a great life, all right? And his mom was a Martha Graham dancer. His dad, of course, was Woody Guthrie. This land is your land. This land is my land. Okay, great childhood. Everything's fine. His prized possession is his father's fiddle, which he took to World War II, and he carved sayings in with a wood burner like, drunk once, sunk twice, and this one is my favorite. And the bottom, the whole section, it says, this machine killed 10 fascists. It needs tuning. So anyway, everything was great about him. He was married to an incredible girl. He met her at the Troubadour, which was this club in Los Angeles, and she was just a cashier. And he married her. And he says that, you know, he was always lucky with love. And I'm like, oh no. But what he meant was he had this 46-year marriage that was, he says it was freaking unbelievable. It was bright as could be. He was as happy as he could be for 46 years with a cashier from the Troubadour. She's pretty, but what a guy. I mean, the opportunities must have been endless. And he just didn't even care. So he's my hero because of that. So then what happened was he would go to this. Okay, so he's now 74, but for 20 years, he was going to this Wild Rose Inn in Woodstock, New York. And the first time he went there, he was making this film that I'm going to watch called Rambler Jack Elliott, okay, for his friend. Anyway, he goes to this inn, he stays, and the lady offers him a Guinness favorite beer. Jackie's with him. Jackie loves her. They stay there as often as they can. One of the reasons is that she can make homemade blintzes as good as Arlo's grandmother. And the two of them found out that their great-grandfathers were from neighboring small towns in Bessarabia, which is now Moldova, and they were kicked out because they were Jewish, both of them. And they actually look alike. Look at the picture. They look alike. Okay, so it's just a great friendship, right? They both grew up in Brooklyn. Jackie loves her. They're all friends. Everything's great. And anyway, what happened was after 46 years of marriage, Jackie dies of liver cancer in 2012. Arlo, I know what grief is like. I mean, it's going to make me cry. He was inconsolable. He said there was a huge hole in his heart. And so he had to get back on the road. He thought he had to get back on the road because he didn't want to go through the grief. And he'd be on the road and he'd have a day where he didn't know where he was. And he'd call up Marty is the girl's name, the inn owner. And he'd say, can you come? I need help. And she would drop everything, leave the reins of her bed and breakfast to her son, hop on a plane. Sometimes he just needed her to make a dentist appointment, or he couldn't find his guitar picks in his right pocket or anything. And she always did his hair because nobody could get the comb through his hair. They were just really, really good friends. And so a year into this, she says to him, I got to tell you the truth. I'm falling in love with you. And his response was tempered by his still grieving heart. And he said, I don't think I have it in me. And a couple of years go by, they're still friends. She's like, okay, that's fine. We'll stay friends. We're really good friends. But it just started happening that when she said it, he needed time, but it created the possibility. And it happened. And it was Marty. And he never thought he would ever fall in love again. And they started out as great friends, so it was like, it didn't matter how it was. She says, it's always been come as you are party. So depressed, whatever, sick, whatever, just come. And they took care of each other like that. In 2016, on his way to California. Okay, so he had a stroke on the way to a concert. And Marty flew in, and she was right by his side, helped him through it. And that's when he realized that he wanted it to be more than a friendship too. And he wanted it to be love. And he said to her, I not only want you in my life, I need you in my life. To me, that was when we made the first real commitment to each other. It's when I could do it. I mean, Smarty's amazing. So Alice's Restaurant, in 1967, he wrote that song, but it's about Thanksgiving. And so actually what happened, and if you don't know the song, it's a great song. You have to listen to it, but it became sort of an anthem for the Vietnam War, where so he wrote it, and he was going into the draft. He was being drafted, which meant that you didn't have a choice. It was really odd time in America, and all these boys were being sent to a war that they didn't volunteer for, and he was one of them. So before that day happened, he went to his friend's Alice's Restaurant when he was 18, and college was kind of, he was having trouble with his life. So the draft, the board will take you if you're not going to college at 18. And that's what happened to him, because he was confused and whatever. But right before that happened, he went to his friend's house for Thanksgiving, Alice, and she and her husband had this restaurant. They were kids. It was in Massachusetts. It was a small restaurant, but she was serving Thanksgiving dinner. And they were arriving in their Volkswagen van with no gas, and were fed for free, were put up for free. And to pay her back, he wanted to take out all this garbage. So the end of the meal, Thanksgiving night, he and his friend go to this dump in the town. That's how it used to be. And it was closed. But right next to the dump was garbage. So they dumped the garbage. Well, they went to bed. They felt good about themselves. The next morning, the cops show up. And there was a letter on their dump of garbage that was addressed to Arlo Guthrie. And so that was how they got caught. And they thought it was going to be like a slap on the wrist. It was like 10 cars. There were two policemen in this town. 10 cars come from all over the county. And they're taking pictures, and they're taking evidence and affidavits and everything. And they put these guys in jail. And the next day there's a trial. And so all these pictures, there were 20 pictures. And with dots on them and circles and all this kind of stuff. And they had to sign on the back that it was all true. And the judge comes in, and he's got a seeing eye dog. So he's like, whoa, this is going to be some trial. And so the judge gives them both a $50 fine, and they get to go on their way. But when he goes to the drafting, everything's going great, except he arrives really hungover, very drunk, because he's scared. And they send him to the psychiatrist. He gives the psychiatrist this song and dance. He wants to get out of it. And he's saying, oh, I've got the killer instinct, and I want to go. And he's just jumping up on tables and doing this monkey dance. He's going crazy, just like out of his mind. And the psychiatrist looks at him and he goes, that was a really great performance, but you're sane. So he despondent. Now he's getting his orders. And the sergeant says, have you ever been arrested? And he goes, yeah. And he tells him the whole story about the littering and the trial. And the sergeant's listening, and he goes, are you sorry for what you did? And he's like, for littering? I'm not sure. So they put him in a tank with these other guys who are murderers, and they're in this tank to see if they're sorry for what they did. And the next morning, I mean, everybody's telling their stories. And when he says littering, the other guys just don't want to talk to him. But then he says, but I caused a commotion. And so he became one of the crowd, and they were all talking about all their crimes. And all of them agreed that they weren't really sorry. So the next day, he comes and the sergeant comes up to him and says, "So are you sorry for what you did?" And he said, "No." And the sergeant says, "Get out of here. We don't want your kind." So actually, Alice's restaurant kept him out of the war. And for 40 years, he had been performing the 18-minute monologue at Carnegie Hall every Thanksgiving for 49 years when he had another stroke before the 50th anniversary. So Marty shows up and they're in the hospital and the doctors say, "You need to stay here." Marty helps get him dressed up. They defy the doctor's orders and he goes and plays the concert. And he said, if I have to die, it doesn't matter. I can't miss this 50th anniversary. Marty's like, okay. She's like his, you know, partner in crime. They're so in love. So a few days later, he wakes up at home in Florida and he has a third stroke. Marty's right there. She sells the inn. She decides to live down the street from him. And so, I mean, they've really got like a little romance going. Very, very chaste, very nice. So he officially retires October 20th, 2020. And so what happens next is this gets really romantic, I'm promising you. But in a older adult version of a romance, like a golden years, golden book romance, okay? So Mr. Guthrie has, okay, strokes that affect him physically and they interfere with his balance and coordination. Okay, so then what happens is Marty has a stroke. I mean, but this is romantic, I promise. October 3rd, 2021. That was just a little while ago, right? Hers affect her thoughts and speech. So he's right with her and she's trying to talk to him and she's trying to say the word apocalyptical. And what comes out is popsicle. And Arlo just dies laughing. And underneath that laugh, over her verbal stumble, he realizes with this welling, unbelievable emotion that this woman has been with him for nearly a decade and shepherded him through all of his crises. And so he says, "I want to marry you. I'm going to take care of you the way a man wants to. I want to marry you." It's like, he says, "Life is not only fragile, it's shorter than I think it is. And when I found you, when you said popsicle, everything just came into focus for me. I'm going to be there for you like you were there for me. And we're going to get married." So this is what they did. It's in the New York Times on December 8th. They went and they got married at a courthouse. And it was funny because Arlo's sister came to visit right before. And she says, what are you going to use for your vows? And they both looked at each other and they were like, "I didn't know you could really have vows at a courthouse." Mrs. Guthrie vowed to make, Mr. Guthrie, Arlo, vowed to make Marty coffee every morning. She vowed to make dinner every night, except for Sunday when he makes French toast. She wore, this is the best part, she wore a white dress with 3/4 length sleeves, buttons across the bust, very pretty. Mr. Guthrie matched her perfectly with a black Hawaiian shirt and jeans. That's how they roll. She said she wanted to wear a veil, and she did, because she didn't get to do it the first time, and she wanted to have that lovely feeling, and you can see it in the picture. These two are so in love. So he says at the end that love will guide him. Each day counts and each moment is a treasure. And he says, "I could live another 5, 10, 15 years, who knows, but I'll treasure the moments I have with this particular girl." That's our love story. That's for our ages. We need to tell stories like this. That is so beautiful that they, it just took a while, but they realized what it was. And you, look at that picture again. Look at that smile. It's so beautiful. He's a good guy. She's a good girl. They deserve each other. And I just love it. And it's for our age. This is not going to be romantic to anybody but us 65 and overs, this is our love story. I'm going to find more. It's going to be the golden love books, the golden age love books. I'll come up with a better title, but something like that. And I'm going to tell really romantic stories for us. Not going to see it anywhere else. Not going to read it anywhere else. Just for us. Just really beautiful stories. And they are so adorable together. I swear to God, that village in Moldavia or wherever, they look alike. Same smile, same nose, just as cute as can be. And they're going to be happy. So I just wanted to tell a happy story for us, not about somebody who's 32. It's easy to be happy at 32. It's not so easy to be happy at 78, but he's doing it. So anyway, that's what I've got today. And I will be back. I'm going to help us stay sane, and we're going to make it. Thanks. Bye-bye.